and so I'm going to have to slow myself down. Amen. Because when the choir got up and got to singing, Lord, have your way. Have your way. I was just like, okay, no, y'all don't need to sing no more. The Lord is in this place. And I'm going to show you why. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Look, we've just been all in Matthew, and I don't know why, but, well, I know why, because that's just where the Lord sent me. But we've been all in Matthew almost throughout the whole year, and so I don't even see a reason why we should leave Matthew, because it's just been so good. Amen, amen, amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, if you haven't already turned there, all right, you already know, Deacon. See, there's a good deacon, and he waved his Bible in the air. If you have your Bibles with you, wave them in the air. Even if you've got a device or whatever, I get it. I understand, you know, some folks still trying to work their way into the 20th century. I get it. All right. And those of you who don't, shame on you. Shame on you. Can't tell the players without a program. Amen. Amen. And then for those of y'all who did and you didn't wave your hand or you didn't wave your Bible or you didn't wave your cell phone, we have it for you on the wall. Amen. So even if, look, you just better hope that she pulled the right verses. Amen. Praise God for Sister Phyllis. She does this. Amen. She does this for us every Sunday. Amen. Amen. Now, it's a shame that she has to do this every Sunday, because I'm quite sure there'd be some Sundays where she'd be like, I wish I could just, you know, sit down and rest. So I'm just, you know, I'm just putting it out there where there's work for some work to be done. Amen. Amen. All right, then. With that being said, you've had more than enough time to get to Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. If you don't have it, then shame on you. Amen. But when you have it, say amen. 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 And it reads on this wise. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whosoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And so just for a few moments of your time, we just want to talk from the subject, why your way don't work. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
All right.
Why your way don't work. Now you know why. I'm like, okay, y'all can stop, choir. Matter of fact, you know what? On the 23rd, I know we have two places that we've been invited to. I will be at Mount Zion, and certainly I'm going to ask. Look, I know it's somewhat of a surprise, but I'm somewhat, because you knew I was going to ask you. It's somewhat of a surprise that the choir come and that they sing that very same song. For whatever reason, the Spirit of the Lord was on y'all today when you sang it. And so I don't want y'all to go anywhere where the Spirit ain't with you. So I know the Spirit of the Lord was on y'all when y'all was singing that song. And y'all come on and sing that song on the 23rd. Amen? Amen. All right, then. Why your way don't work? If anybody here knows anything about IKEA, y'all ever been to IKEA? Y'all know about IKEA? Okay, so you know IKEA is a furniture store, right? And so the thing about IKEA is that when you go to IKEA, you know, the reason why you save the money that you save is that you putting the thing together. Amen. So, it looks all good in the show, right? It looks all good in the showroom. You walk there with the young lady or the young man. They point out all the features, and they say how good it is and how well it's structured. And it is. It's looked good and it's well structured in the store. So when you buy it, right, it's all in pieces. Amen. And so I can say that I went to IKEA. I wanted to save me some money. And so I did. I saw this set of bunk beds. And I'm like, okay, these are some solid looking bunk beds. I can see, you know, my rambunctious kids. This is when they was much smaller. My rambunctious kids jumping up and down on them and not able to tear them up. Right. And so I said, OK. And then on top of that, I said, I look like I can put that together because, you know, it just big pieces. And I'm thinking, you know, the big pieces, I'm good. I'm good. I'm like, y'all remember Cliff Huxtable? Okay, so if you remember Cliff Huxtable, that was a character played by Bill Cosby. And the thing with Cliff Huxtable is that he couldn't put nothing together. I'm sort of kind of like that fella. But I was like, man, I could do this, right? I can do this. So I went and I bought the bunk beds and I brought them home and I started putting it together. And now notice, I didn't look at all the instructions. I just figured I got pieces. And I'm figuring if I could just look at the picture, look, I already got fingers wagging at me. If I could look at the picture, I could put the thing together. Now, fellas, don't admit to this because I know I ain't the only one who's ever done this. So I put the thing together, at least I thought. And, you know, I had a couple of false starts, you know, like where the railing goes. I had it backwards in hind parts before, and so I had to take it apart and put it back. You know, the railing where the slats sit, you know. Y'all remember slats, right? Okay. Where the slats sit, I had it backwards, but that's all right because I figured out what I did, and I fixed it, right? And so I put it together. I put it together just using the picture and the tools I had. And, you know, after I put it together, I was kind of proud, and I stepped back, and I looked at it, and I said, this don't look like what it looked like in the store. Matter of fact, I looked at the picture. I looked at it, and I said, why I got all these extra pieces? So I'm looking at the extra pieces, and I'm looking, because you figure, okay, the manufacturer gives you maybe a couple of extra pieces, you know, just because, you know, some might get lost in shipping. But I'm like, that's a lot of extra pieces and a lot of extra screws. And so what I did was I'm like, you know what, I don't think I'm going to test this out. And certainly I'm not going to let my kids jump on it. So let me go call a friend of mine who knows a lot more about this stuff than I do, right? So I'm calling him, and he say, well, did you read the instructions? Needless to say, that didn't work out really well. Why? Because my way didn't work. Because the way that you were supposed to do it is that you're supposed to what? Read the instructions. When you read the instructions will let you know what part goes into what part, how many parts you're supposed to have, how many parts you will need. What's part A going to part B? I mean, all you need is an entry-level education. If you know ABCs and 1, 2, 3, you should be able to figure this out by looking at the instructions. But oftentimes what we fail to do is we try to live our life without reading the instruction book for life. Yeah. And so here it is. Jesus is sitting on the mount. The rest of y'all will get it later. Jesus is sitting on the mount, and he is talking to these disciples. Now, you know, when he's talking, not just the disciples are there, but there were some folk who were there who just wanted to see what this Jesus fellow was all about. And then there are some other folks there, some called the scribes and the Pharisees. They show up. And, you know, most folk, sometimes they'll show to cheer you on, but other folks will show to just kind of confound the issue, to make it kind of messy, to kind of throw rocks. And he said, well, you know, it was good exposition, but it wasn't very good composition. And so, you know, just so that they might have something erudite to say. And so folk would just show up for all kinds of different reasons. And so here we have Jesus is on the side of this mountain, and he is talking in chapters 5, 6, and 7. This is called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, we've already touched on the Sermon on the Mount several times before, but here at this particular time, Jesus, who is the carpenter from Nazareth, is now sitting on the mountain letting us know why our way doesn't work. First of all, he tells us the reason why our way doesn't work is because of the way you think. In verses 17 and 18, he tells us, do not think that I came to destroy the law or even the prophets, but I did come to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all be fulfilled. And so here Jesus is sitting on the mount. He's first of all letting them know that, first of all, I didn't come to destroy the law. Matter of fact, I'm here to let you know that the law is going to be fulfilled. But right now, I can't let you know everything. And don't you know, you can't tell the end of the story at the beginning of the story? Right. Amen. And that's all Jesus is doing. He's starting to lay a foundation for what it is that he's going to take them through. He, first of all, he wants to deal with the way that they think. He says, I didn't come to abolish the law. So now the scribes and the Pharisees are sitting there basically saying to themselves, then why are you here? If you're not here to talk bad about us, why are you here? Maybe sometimes instead of looking at the teacher as though the teacher don't know what he's talking about, maybe you ought to listen to what it is that the teacher has to say before then you render a decision on what it is that he has said. Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy the law or even the prophets. Now you got to understand these are people that he is talking to. These are the Jewish people. They have been raised up with the word of God. And from the time from knee high to a tadpole, they have already received all the word of God. That effect, a part of their heritage is the fact that they were God's people, that God chose them. And because they were God's people, they got the oracles of God from the man of God. Matter of fact, they got the oracles of God from the man of God on a mountain. Here it is. Jesus, who is the Son of God, is sitting on the side of a mountain talking about the law that was given to them on a mountainside. And all he says, I'm here to do is to tell you about the I didn't come to destroy this law, but I came to fulfill it. Now, if you were paying attention, if you were back then in century 1 A.D., you would be sitting there thinking, what is it that he's talking about? Well, that these Jews who knew that what the law was, because you understand that they were given the Ten Commandments by Moses on a mountain. In addition to it, before Moses passes on into history, Moses then gives them all of Deuteronomy, which is all of the law. And so here it is that these people who have prided themselves on having received the law, on having studied the law, have been received the oracles of the law, all from the Lord and the man of God, that was their totality of their identity. So what Jesus is really doing is now he's starting to mess with their identity. Maybe you don't get it. Maybe if you've been known, let's say you go on your job and you're a good worker and you have a certain way to process a particular job that you do. Matter of fact, you do it so well, people call the process after you. Oh, this is the millage process. Yes, you know, if you work this out, the millage house process, because he does it so well, y'all need to emulate the way that Millage House does this. And matter of fact, they start sending a brother House to teach other people the way that he does what it is that he does. He does it so well. Matter of fact, they'll send him across the country to another part so that he can teach them the Millage House process. Don't you know that after a while that process is named after him? Maybe even after Mr. House has even left the job, they said, good job, here's a watch, have a nice day, but we're going to hold on to your process. Because that process is good. It's better than having had the man. That's what he is known for. When all of a sudden there comes another fella. Oh, I don't know. We call it green. The green process. All of a sudden the green process surpasses the house process. Wait a minute. You messing with my identity. That's all that what we're looking at here is that now Jesus comes and Jesus is saying some things that's starting to mess with their identity. What do you mean about the law? What do you mean destroying the law? What are you talking about? Is there a different process? Well, Jesus begins to explain to them, yeah, you've been doing this thing, but you've been doing this thing kind of wrong. There's layers to this thing. You know what? The wonderful thing about the house process is that it was successful in its day. You know what we call that? Tradition. All right. When a thing was successful back in the day, and it continues to be used today, we say that it's traditional. And there's nothing wrong with traditional. Matter of fact, I like traditional vanilla ice cream. I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's great the way that they have taken ice cream. Ain't nothing. And matter of fact, homemade vanilla ice cream. You ever have? Oh, yeah, because we made it, right? If you ain't ever had to look, Maureen, if you ain't never had homemade, sure enough, rock salt.
Right.
Put in a, she looking at me like, what you talking about?
Yeah, we
ingredients put in a metal can in a wooden bucket surrounded by ice and rock salt. Yeah. And then the way, look, people already throwing their hands. And then you cranking that puppy.
Right.
Ain't nothing wrong with tradition. Because tradition meant success, but success frozen is called tradition. Success doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that it's been used. But now all of a sudden, you got to make way for the green process. Because you know what the green process is there. You might, it's good ice cream. You ever have that Haagen-Dazs vanilla? Yeah, I already got a couple of hands. Don't wave them too high. Your doctor going to be mad because you wasn't taking your pill. But there's something about that Haagen-Dazs ice cream. I tell you, boy, I tell you. Every time I go to the store, there's a certain somebody who's sending me texts. Make sure you get the Haagen-Dazs.
Not the other brands. Haagen-Dazs.
You know, not that thrifty ice cream. You got to bring back some Haagen-Dazs. There's nothing wrong with homemade, but sometimes times will progress. And even though the tradition, it may be good and it might be good to you, that God is a God of new things. Yeah. Matter of fact, God is a God of new beginnings. Yeah. Matter of fact, that's what we call ourselves, don't we? Yeah. New beginnings. Why? Because sometimes the old ways just won't do. Hey, how many of y'all still riding around in horse in carriages? Anybody got a horse tied up to something? You might have it tied up to something, but you ain't riding it. And certainly you didn't ride it today.
That's right.
Because we'd be talking about you. Who hold up in here? Who rolled up in here with this horseless with this carriage? And who gonna feed the horse and who gonna clean behind it? See, even though the horse will get you where you need to go, there are better ways to go.
Yeah.
And this is all that Jesus here is saying, that you refuse to think beyond right now. You refuse to put into practice, even though it's good, but you know what? What was good back then ain't necessarily useful today. Amen. You can make copies by hand, and copies by hand are good, but why would you do that when you can get I started to say Xerox, which is old, right? But when you can get a copy machine, make an exact copy in less time than it would take for you to take pen to paper. Mm-hmm. And then you know you, right? Because especially if you ain't got your reading glasses, you might miss something. Mm-hmm. And so your copy ain't nearly as good as the copy that came out the Xerox machine. But that's just the way we've been thinking. We got to get out of the way that our thinking, because sometimes we get stuck in our thinking. And that because we get stuck in our thinking, we're thinking that the way that we used to do it back in the 50s and the 40s and the 60s is going to work in 2010, 2015, 2020. That ain't going to work. There's a whole new group of folk who don't know nothing about Princess House phones. Y'all will get it. Our way isn't working because we're stuck in our thinking, and we're doing it the wrong way. You're stuck in your thinking, and you're doing it the wrong way. Can I just point you back to me and the IKEA bunk bed? I'm putting it together the wrong way. I didn't read the instructions. I just look at the picture, and I could get it together. But don't you know that? For some people, that's how their walk is. They ain't read nobody's Bible. Matter of fact, they looking around for you because you they Bible. And they measuring their life by your life. And you know how raggedy your life is. Nobody in here, right? Because y'all all pristine. Y'all do everything that you've read in the Bible. If you read in the Bible. I ain't saying nobody here ain't. But if you ain't, we got Sunday school and pastor teach on Wednesday. Twice, 2 and at 7. Amen. 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 I mean, where's John? John show up for both. It's probably good that he does. That's just wrong. But sometimes you're just doing it the wrong way. And sometimes you're doing it wrong, and you're sincerely wrong. I mean, you're thinking, this is, grandmama did it, grandpapa did it, my mama did it, my daddy did it, I'm doing it. And come to find out they've been doing it wrong even from when they was doing it. All right. You know, the Bible shall set you free. You better read it for yourself.
Amen.
The Bible shall set you free, or shall it make you free?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Y'all better work it out or come to Bible study on Wednesday or Sunday school. But that's how we've been doing. We've been living our life through somebody else. Grandmama said, I remember when I first got saved. Well, I remember one of the times that people tried to make me get saved. And you know, look, after a while, you just become stubborn. You do. It's like, okay, today you're going to go up to there and you're going to receive the Lord, because if you don't, I'm going to whoop your behind. And that's how some of y'all got saved. Somebody threatened you with a whooping and you came forward. You believe in your heart? Yes, I believe I'm going to get a whooping if I don't get up here. And you made your way up there. You told the preacher a lie. I believe in my heart. I'll confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And then you went back to being the hellion you were. But then after a while, Jesus became real. You did it the wrong way. And you did it for the wrong reasons. But Jesus has a way of letting you course correct. He says, therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least in the kingdom. Oftentimes we're teaching people our bad habits. And sometimes we don't realize how bad our habits are because we haven't read it for ourselves. Or what we'll do is we'll do one of those like, well, you know what, call pastor and ask him. You know, pastor ain't always answering his phone. I'm just going to be honest. I ain't always answering my phone because sometimes I do need to sleep. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I do need to sleep. Now, I will answer my phone. I'll call you back. Amen. And then he's, well, pastor, what about this particular passage here? I had somebody one time call me and say, pastor, I want all your notes. Like, all my notes. What are my notes going to do for you? There's no salvation in my notes. But I want to know what you know. Then you need to read the instructions for yourself. The only way that you can live the life that he calls you to live, the only way that you can even attempt, and that's all you can do, attempt to live the way that he has called you to live, is to know what it is that he's asked you how to live. See, and we have this terrible thing of living by the letter of the law as opposed to the spirit of the law. Because if you live by the letter of the law, then there's all kinds of terrible things that can happen to you. Oftentimes, if people will write laws to address a particular issue, and then once it's been on the books for a while, you know, enterprising souls start saying to themselves, well, what can we do to have that law expanded and help us? The vehicle code is good for vehicles. Amen. You know, some vehicles need to be pulled over because maybe they have a broken headlamp. And you wouldn't know, right, because you're driving around at old dark 30 and don't realize that your right headlamp is out. Right? Now, the law says that he doesn't have to give you a ticket for it. Matter of fact, the law doesn't say he has to even pull you over for it. But let's just say he's looking for a reason just to get in your car. The vehicle code gives him every reason to pull you over. Now, was that the spirit of the law?
No.
That's the letter of the law. Mm-hmm. And we find that these self-same individuals who prided themselves on the law, who prided themselves on having been given the oracles of the law, who prided themselves on knowing the law, began to become legalists and live beyond the spirit of the law and began to live by the letter of the law. Jesus talks about when they were giving, how they would give, right? You tithe on spices and on mint. Now, I don't know about y'all. I ain't going to the store buying cumin and taking out one-tenth of it and bringing it to church. But that's what they would do. They would get hold of the spices and mint and whatever else they came into contact with. They'd take one-tenth of it and bring it and tithe it to the church. Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't got much use for cumin, dill, or sage. So if you want to start tithing that stuff, you might want to take it to, I think, well, Sister McGowan's daughter is a chef. She'll appreciate that, but I ain't got no use for it. Amen. But what was the spirit of the law? The spirit of the law is to get you to realize that whatever that you have, you've gotten it from the Lord. And because you got it from the Lord is due a portion of what it is that you've brought in. Although it all belongs to him, he's only required a portion of it from you. And don't you realize you can do more with the 90% that you have than the 10% that you give it away? If you don't believe me, try me and see. What Jesus is telling them here is that not only are you doing it, your way don't work because you ain't doing it right. Your way doesn't work because you're not thinking right. But then finally he tells them the way you should do it is the kingdom way. For I say unto you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is get your head out of the letter of the law and start living by the spirit of the law. Because in when it comes to relationships, amen, when it comes to relationships, do you live by the letter or do you live by the spirit? I have found that when you take into account the spirit, you start saying things like, I love you more often. There's nothing in the Bible that says that you ought to tell your mate, somebody you love, your children, that you love them. But the Lord does say that you ought to express that to him. So if you ought to express love to God the Father, don't you think that you ought to express love to those who are with you, to those who are around you, those who live in your household? And now, fellas, I get it. If you in my house and you eating my food, that's my expression of love to you. If you in my house using my air, turning on my heat when it get cold, turning on the cold air when it get hot, that's my expression of love to you. Why? Because you ain't helping me pay nary a bill. You ain't helping me do anything up in here except you consuming matter. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. You done had these little kids from when they came home from the hospital until, matter of fact, it take everything in your power to get them to leave. Amen. Because they realize how good they got it. But how often do you hear them say, well, Daddy, I love you because, you know, you take such good care of us. When was the last time you said, well, Mama, I love you because you've been really better to me than my friends. How often do you hear, baby, I love you. I love you with all my heart. Yeah, I left out the other one. I know, baby. But you asked me not to say that. There you go. How often do we say we love you? How often do we say we need you? How often do we say, why? Because even though it works, we're trying to live by the letter of the law and not by the spirit of the law. And so this is what Jesus means when he says that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Because if you think about it, those who were the masters of the law, those who studied the law, those whose job it was to be able to teach the law, they knew the law. They knew the law so well, they attempted to live by the letter of the law, but they never lived by the spirit of the law. And this is the point that Jesus makes. Unless you learn not to live by the letter of the law, but by the spirit of the law, you'll never make it into the kingdom. You must exceed what it is, knowledge. Because realize this, that while knowledge is a good thing, wisdom is better. It is wisdom that tells knowledge how to work. It is wisdom that tells you when to keep your mouth shut and when to open your mouth. It is wisdom that will get you a lot farther than knowledge. There are a lot of educated fools. But there are a lot of people who are foolish, but we'll never know because they are wise enough to keep their mouth shut. Jesus is letting us know that righteousness is not based on what you know, but righteousness is based on who you know. Because you realize that you can't be made righteous by living the law. Oh, no man can. Yes, there is a hope that at some point in time there would be one who would come who would live to the letter of the law as well as to the spirit of the law. And this is what the doctors taught, and this is what the scribes taught, and this is what the Pharisees taught. And now here is the one, the only one, who will be able to live according to all of the law and even impute his righteousness unto us. We can't get righteousness on our own. Try as we might, you might know all the law. And there are some people who know a lot of the law. Nobody knows all the law. But there is some folk who know enough of the law to try and live by the law. And the more you try, the greater you fail. Because as you realize you can't do it, you need some help. And this here, all of a sudden, in the history of man, here shows up a man called Jesus. Here comes Jesus, the only one who is able to live according to the letter and the spirit of the law. And because he loves us so much, he imputes his righteousness unto us. You ain't righteous because of you. As nice as you are, as much as you love folks, you ain't gonna make it in based on your works. Why? Because your works don't work. Your works don't work because you're stinking thinking. Your works don't work because you're doing it the wrong way. Your works don't work because you haven't figured out the kingdom way. And Jesus says, this is the kingdom way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. I am the way. Jesus says he is exclusively inclusive. Which means that anybody, as long as you believe that I am the way, as long as you believe I am the truth, Jesus says, as long as you believe I am the way, you don't stop walking your way. You need to start walking my way. And when you start walking my way, you'll find out it's the kingdom way. That's all I've got to say. In other words, you need to start walking in the way that Jesus has already prescribed. And the way that Jesus has prescribed is this. He has widened the responsibilities that you've been given. See, Jesus says, and we talked about it earlier, Jesus says that in regards to murder, that the act is bad enough in and of itself, but it didn't just start with the act. It started with your stinking thinking. It started with your anger. It started with your hurt. It started with you wanting to get even. It started with you wanting to get back. And then you just got madder and madder. And then the madder you got, the more upset you became. The more upset you became, you wanted to get even. The more you wanted to get even, the more you started thinking about things that you should not do. And then all of a sudden, you started thinking about ways how you could get away with it and not get caught. You started thinking about how you were going to make your escape, how you were going to do this. Like all of a sudden, you're going to be like John Wick and just start taking people out and not get caught. All of us, y'all looking at me like, who's John Wick? That's CJ. Why your way doesn't work? Your way doesn't work because of your stinking thinking. Your way doesn't work because you're doing it the wrong way. But if you do it the kingdom way, your righteousness will exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, because then you realize that it's not based on anything that you have done, but it's based on Jesus. Songwriter has said, God is the joy and the strength of my life. He moves all pain, misery, and strife. He promised to keep me, never to leave me. He'll never come short of his word. But I've got to fast and pray. I got to stay in the narrow way. I got to keep my life clean every day. Because I want to go with him when he comes back. I've come too far, and I'll never turn back. Because God is. God is my all, and he's my all. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. The word of God has gone forward and is doing those things that God has purposed them to do. Some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of him. If you all be good and kind enough just to stand with me, I know that most of us here, if not all of us here, are family. But there's a fellow by the name of George Barner. You've heard me say this, and I'll say it again. He says that 10% of any group that's sitting in a church, some of them are unsaved. They'll show up on Sunday just like you show up on Sunday. They know when to pray, and they know when to sing the song. They know church, but they don't know Christ. Repeat this prayer if you would after me. Father God, I am a sinner, and I need to be saved. Holy Spirit, come into my heart and make me the kind of Christian that you would have me to be. For this I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. If you've never said that prayer before, or you've said that prayer before, but you never believed before, and this is your first time saying it and believing it, the Bible says you are saved. There's nothing more that you must do. You are saved. The only thing that we would ask you to do is that if you are saved and you don't have a church home, can I invite you to join New Beginning Christian Fellowship Church? I can make you this promise. I think I can make you this promise that we'll love you with the love of the Lord, and we'll give you all that the Lord has given us to give unto you. Whomsoever will, be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Come forward. Give God your heart, and let me shake your hand. Whomsoever will.